Yeah, you can go. Good morning. It is good to see everyone here this morning. And just to clarify, no, I am not a grandpa yet. Hillary, good to see you. Or not. Yeah, glad you're here. So, oh, Jay, yeah. Sorry, Jay. Glad to see you too. Open your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 3. These are two of my favorite verses. They are two of the verses that keep me going many days of the week. Yes, I did say days of the week. We're not talking about weeks. We're not talking about years. We're not talking about months. We're not talking about anything. We're talking about days and sometimes chunks of time within those days. These are words that keep coming back to my mind time and time and time again. And they do because life is full of problems. Tell me this morning if you're surprised by that. Yeah, no, nobody's hand goes up. Life is full of problems. And in fact, if we took the time to go over to James chapter 1 and look at the second and third verse there, the James himself, guided by the Spirit of God, says, count it all joy when you encounter various trials, because the trying of your faith produces patience. And so in that verse, we understand that trials are not something that might occur from time to time. The Scriptures time and again says that we can count on them. They're going to happen. And sometimes there's a whole lot of them at different times during the day. We have to deal with issues. Now, as you look at the screen, there are a number of things that come up that suggest that there may be issues that we have to face. Sometimes they're personal. Sometimes they are not of our own doing. I had a chat with an individual this week. An extensive chat with this person who was encountering issues that were completely outside of their control. And it troubled them. They had a tremendous desire to honor the Lord in all that they did, but they were introduced to issues that they had no knowledge of, but which impacted them tremendously. And sometimes we face issues in these different areas of life. We think of people who are sometimes unfaithful. The divorce rate is just unreal. And if you looked at the numbers among the Lord's people, Christians, it would be appalling to you, I'm sure, to see that. There are people who deal with low self-esteem. You know what? They can't do or say or think anything right. They are the pimple on the rear end of a horse most days. That's how they feel, and we snicker sometimes at that thought. But the reality is there are people, and maybe even here this morning, that are in the pit of depressiveness, and they need to get out. Sometimes they need help getting out. Sometimes they need one of us, brothers or sisters in Christ, someone who knows them and their circumstance, just to reach back and offer a hand and help them forward. These are issues that are ingrained in all of us sometimes. What addictions do you have? You say, well, I'm not into sex, and I'm not into drugs, and I'm not into alcohol. How about TV? How about the avoidance of reading your Bible? These are all things, and as you look at things in life, they can consume your time. How about the NHL or the NBA playoffs? I confess to you that as I reviewed my notes last night, every so often in the back of my mind, I was wondering about the score of the hockey game. I confess that. I love hockey. I love hockey. But we deal with problems. Sometimes we have issues of insecurity. Sometimes we have to deal personally with a sharp tongue. Sometimes we have to deal with injustice, as I shared at the beginning, this individual who was now having to face circumstances totally beyond their control that were unjust. Now we're coming to bear in their life. They were seeking the Lord's assistance, the desire to honor Him. How about anger? Some of us struggle with anger. We see an injustice. We see a treatment of an individual, and our emotions take over, and we boil up inside. And figuratively speaking, we want to hit something. Maybe somebody. Anger. Scripture doesn't say there's a problem with anger. In fact, Scripture says that we're to be angry and not sin. There is something in Scripture called a righteous anger. As you read through your Bible and you read through the Scriptures, you will see there that the Lord God Himself was angry with His people many times. I wonder sometimes in my own life the number of times that He has been angry with me. Hebrews 10 tells us that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I am so grateful for Psalm 103, where He has not dealt with us according to our sin or punished us according to our iniquities. His mercy and grace have been extended to me, while His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, bore the wrath of His anger against my sin on the cross of Calvary. Do you know somebody who's judgmental? Are you judgmental? Something happens, and boy, you've got an opinion. And you can't wait for somebody to ask or even hint that they might be interested in what you might have to say. What about impatience? In my own life, that is an area that I need to work on. I need to work on that. Because I want things done now. It is inherent in every guy's, makeup that he wants to fix it, and he wants to fix it now, and nothing drives us more insane many days when we face something that we cannot fix now. Impatience. Impatience for your child to do something. Impatience for your spouse to take action in a particular area. Impatience with those at work who may be here. Fellowship with Bethany. Patience is something that we all lack to one degree or another. These are all, and there's more up there, you can see them, and I trust that some of those are resonating with you as things that, yeah, I can picture that, I can see that. In fact, I can tell you the story about that if I had opportunity. These are things that are problems. They are issues in life. And God would say to us, count it all joy. Right. Count it all joy when you encounter these various issues, these various trials, these various adverse circumstances that come into your life, because as your faith is tested, it will produce patience. Another way of thinking about it is as you encounter these trials, you will become stronger as a result of them. A small tree bending in the wind will become resilient to the force of that wind and become stronger. These are all problems that we encounter. But the verses that I want to share with you this morning from my heart, as guided by the Spirit of God, I trust, are in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And I'd invite you to look at those right now. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Let's pray. Father, this morning as we consider these few words that were preserved for us for thousands of years, Father, in your word, we just thank you for them. And pray that by your Spirit this morning you would speak to each one of us and challenge us to the very core of the way we think and identify to us, even as David prayed, that you would identify any wicked way in me, and that you would lead me in the way everlasting. Father, we are desirous to hear your voice this morning, and some issues are difficult for us to consider. And Father, by your Spirit, give us strength and enablement to consider them this morning and to bring them before you humbly in prayer. We commit ourselves to you now. Lord Jesus. Amen. Dealing with life's problems. How do you do that? Well, the first thing you do is that you need to cast yourself on him. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you." He cares for you. We need to cast ourselves upon him. And in Proverbs 3 and verse 5, and that very first word says to trust. And when we trust, we are to commit ourselves, body, soul, and spirit. We are to resign our motives and our desires, our wants and our likes unto him. We are to give that over and to place our trust in him. It doesn't mean we turn a blind eye to the reality of life around us. It means rather to acknowledge the reality of life. Acknowledge your circumstance. Understand the truth of the impact they have on you personally. But to commit that situation, commit yourself in that situation to the Lord. When Brenda and I spend time with couples, we talk about something that's called a default position. That default position is something that you need to establish as a husband and wife. It is that position that you held of your wife or your husband the day you stood at the front of that church in the midst of all those people. It is what you thought of her or thought of him when you said, "I does." And it's what you understood you're supposed to be on that day. I can tell you that this room is full of people that says, "It changed. They aren't like that anymore." Hopefully they've improved, but there are some things you learn about that you didn't know about when you said, "I do." The default position is when there is strife between you and you know that something has set your spouse off. They are not acting like that individual that you stood at the front of that congregation with and joined yourself before them and God. Something has happened. You don't understand fully, but you run back to that default position. You see, when life treats us unfairly and throws us a bunch of garbage, we need to trust ourselves in the Lord. We need to commit that to him. We need to resign our desires and feelings to him in that situation and allow him to do his thing. We need to trust in the Lord. He is the object of our trust. Jehovah God, the self-existent eternal one. That one whose name those of Jewish persuasion will not say the name of God because of a reverence of a respect. He is the one in whom we have our trust. He is not of this earth. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, he says, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. He's not of this earth. If you were to go over to 2 Peter chapter 3, you would see there that time does not bind God. It says there that 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is 1,000 years. Some people have taken that verse and said, okay, well, based on that, then that means the Lord's coming after 7,000 years, which means on this date. And it's got nothing to do with that. It's a verse there that says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. He is outside of time. Time has no bearing on him. He created it. In the beginning, Genesis 1 and 1, God created the heavens and the earth. Time began. We are coming to one. We are trusting in the Lord, who is the author of our salvation. He is the one who can direct us in our life's direction, our paths. We need to cast ourselves upon him. He is omniscient. He is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He is the one who opened his mouth and spoke the words, "Let there be light." And there it was. That is the one in whom we must commit ourselves to and resign ourselves to. He's the one in whom we must trust. And the verse says that we are to do that with all our heart. We are to delight ourselves in him. Delight ourselves in him. This involves our emotion and it involves our intelligence because it's a logical and reasonable thing for us to do. We need to delight ourselves in him. If you were to consider, I wonder sometimes in dealing with problems, I wonder what was going through Abraham and Sarah's mind when the Lord visited them and said, you know, you're going to have a baby. And in Genesis 17 and verse 17, something there we read, and people don't talk about it much, but Abraham laughed at God. He wasn't laughing like, oh boy, I'm going to be a daddy. He was laughing at, get real. I'm 100 years old. I'm approaching 100 years. My wife's approaching 90. Get real. He laughed at. When you go over into chapter 18 in Genesis and verse 12, you see there that Sarah laughed at God. That was a problem. But the Lord said to them both, he said, is anything too hard for the Lord to do? What about Jeremiah when the Babylonians, the Chaldeans were coming and they had besieged Jerusalem? Are you ready for this? The Lord said, Jeremiah, you know what? Your nephew's going to come to you and he's going to want you to buy some land in the area here. I want you to do that. And Jeremiah said, what? The Babylonians are here. The city is under siege. We are in imminent danger of destruction and defeat. You want me to buy some real estate? Really? And the Lord said, hey, is anything too hard for me? I was thinking of the disciples when they couldn't understand how anybody, you know, if a rich man couldn't be saved, then who could be saved? And the Lord said, it's easier for the camel to go through to the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter heaven. And they said, well, who can be saved then? And he says, well, with God, all things are possible. And I thought of Mary as Gabriel announced to her that she would bear the Son of God. She said, really? I've not known a man. I've not had sexual intercourse with a man. How can this be? And Gabriel said to her, with God, nothing will be impossible. We need to trust in the Lord with all our heart, regardless of the circumstances we find ourselves in, whether they are made by ourselves or imposed upon us, or a combination of both. We need to trust the Lord with all our heart. We need to cast ourselves upon him. And we are to have no confidence in the flesh. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And it says, lean not on your own understanding. In Philippians 3:3 there, it says, we are the circumcision of God. It says, we have no confidence in the flesh. Jeremiah says, you know what? It is not within man's power to direct or establish his own steps. It's not there. It's not there. He is incapable of doing so. And it is contrary to the concept of trust to rely on what you believe is appropriate. Right. Joshua chapter 7, verses 1 to 4 is the story of the children of Israel coming into the land, the promised land. They had taken Jericho, that massive fortified city that fell as they praised the Lord. They overthrew it with the Lord's power and His enablement, and they gave glory to Him. And not many days afterwards, they came across a little town called Ai. And Joshua sent his men to go and scout the city, and they came back and said, don't waste all of our time. Let's just send a couple of thousand, maybe 2,000 or 3,000, and we can take it. It's not an issue. And Joshua did that. Joshua did not consult with the Lord. Joshua did not trust in the Lord. They got beat. They were defeated. They ran in retreat. Joshua did not trust the Lord. Joshua applied his own understanding and reasoning, because you know what? It wasn't really a big issue. Whether your problems are big or small does not matter. You need to take them to the Lord in prayer. Trust Him in every situation. If you do not trust Him, you are relying on your own vices and your own understanding, your own capability. You will get in trouble. That reference in 1 Samuel 27 is when David is being pursued by Saul, and he gets, quite frankly, tired of getting chased around the wilderness by Saul. And he says, this is ridiculous. If I stay here, I'm going to die. Now, it's interesting that he would even think that, knowing that God Himself has anointed him by the hand of Samuel as the next king of Israel. And David, it says in 1 Samuel 27, verse 1, it says, he reasoned in his own heart. You see, when you are relying on yourself and coming to your own conclusions, you are not trusting in the Lord with all your heart. The two cannot coexist. It's not a case of 50% of the time I'm going to rely on myself and 50% here. It's not even in the situation that you find yourself. Okay, I'm going to handle this part over here, and the Lord, you can help me with this piece here. It's not. If you're going to handle this piece over here, the Lord is saying you can have all of it. And as silly as it sounds, we say, okay, I can do that. And we come to the point where we start making our own decisions and we rely on our own understanding. It amazes me as I think back to the way in which Brenda and I came to North Bay. We had it figured out. We knew exactly what He was going to do, and we knew when it was going to occur. And how we came to North Bay was done in a way that we never considered. I think sometimes, and I'm not being disrespectful of the Lord Himself, I think sometimes that He does things just to show us and remind us that He is God and I am not. Do not rely on your own understanding. It says, be anxious for nothing. When you become worried and anxious for any situation, you are shelving God. You are pushing Him aside, and you are stressing and trying to figure out that situation on your own. Philippians 4 and 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And He'll show you the way. No confidence in the flesh. Don't rely on your own understanding, but give God the glory. Seek to honor Him. In John chapter 5 and verse 44, the Lord Jesus says very plainly to the Pharisees, He said, you are so busy seeking the honor of men around you that you are not focused on seeking honor from God. 1 Peter 3 says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. We are to be seeking His glory. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, it talks about the different ways that we minister to one another. And the view that we ought to have is so that God Himself would be given the glory through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That ought to be our desire every waking minute of every single day. If we call Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, if we call God Father, if we rely on the Spirit of God and desire that He would teach us and guide us, that ought to be our desire to honor Him. You are His ambassador. You are his representative. You are to be reflecting the very character of God in all that you do. And when you deal with problems, you ought to be relying on him. That's how the Lord Jesus himself did that. He trusted himself to the Father. He listened to the Spirit of God. That's why he went into the wilderness in John chapter 4. That's why he went to Samaria. It says he must go through Samaria. That's why, because he was listening and he was trusting his Father by the Spirit of God. And he was giving attention to what he wanted him to do. That's why he had to go through Samaria. We often say, you know, let's think about what we can do for the Father. We need to change that around. It's what can the Father do through me? And we need to make ourselves available to him. Because when we start thinking about what I can do for God, what happens at the other end is that we begin to take the glory. Because you see, I did it. We did it. I accomplished it. It was my idea. And we forget to give glory to God and see the increase that he brings about. It's not about what I can do for God, but it's about what God through me can do to further the kingdom of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? It involves waiting. We talked about this a number of weeks ago, that it does take waiting. Jehoshaphat waited. The disciples in Acts 2 waited for the endowment of the Spirit of God upon them. They were told at the end of Luke 24 to wait in Jerusalem until the Spirit of God came upon them. They went about their business during the day. It says they were continually in the temple. They were mingling amongst the people. They were full of joy and excitement because Jesus was alive. And he ascended not days before into the presence of God himself. He was taken up before them. And it says they returned to Jerusalem with joy. And it says they continued in the temple court, amongst the people with that joy. But they didn't leave Jerusalem. They waited. They waited. Sometimes you and I have to wait on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord, as Isaiah says, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as wings and as eagles. We need to wait on the Lord sometimes. Sometimes he says, let's go. That's the path I want you to take. Let's go. Other times he says, just wait. There's something up ahead that I've not completed yet. Just wait. Just wait. So we need to cast ourselves on him. We need to have no confidence in the flesh, and we need to acknowledge the supremacy of God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways. Did you hear that? In all. Capital A, followed by two toothpicks, okay? All your ways. Whatever you do in word or deed, you're to be doing it to the glory of God through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us have closets. You're saying, Gord, what are you talking about? Where are you going with this? Tell me you haven't done this. Someone pulls into your driveway that you weren't expecting, and you do the greatest and quickest job of cleaning that house that anybody could ever do. And maybe you open up that credenza, that desk, and yeah, fire it all in there and lower the lid. Maybe there's one room in the house, a closet, maybe a bedroom, that you just go and dump it all on the bed and close the door. It's off limits to the people that are there. It's a closet. We treat God that way. Lord, I'll give you my finances and my family, but my work is mine. My hobbies are mine, because I don't want you to cut into my enjoyment now. Let's be serious. I want to have some fun. I don't want to live the Christian life without having fun, and I know I've got to do that, because you're a parent. Joel. In all your ways. The children of Israel in the wilderness had that pillar of cloud by day, and that pillar looked like fire by night. I want you to process that for a minute. They come out in the morning, they throw open the tent flap, they stretch, and there it is. A reminder. God is in their midst. We need to, in all our ways, in every aspect of our lives, we are to acknowledge Him. We are to revere Him. Notice in verse number 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. It says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Revere Him. Understand who He is to the best of your capability. And revere Him. Remember, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Revere Him for who He is and all of His majesty and might and power. Understand what you deserved at His hand because of your sin. And marvel at His grace and mercy which has been given to you, such that now you can go into His presence with boldness because of the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Revere Him. Honor Him and thank Him. That's worship and praise, adoration. Notice in verse number 9, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the fruits, first fruits of your increase. Take what He's given to you and give Him back a portion of that. That's the way you look at it. He's given it all to you anyway. Give Him a portion back. Honor Him, worship Him, praise Him, and adore Him. You are to submit to Him. Notice in verse 11, not something we like to dwell on. It says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father the son in whom He delights. Submit to His wise care over you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, knowing that He knows better what you need right now than you do. Romans 5 and 8, God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Consider what He has done and resign yourself into His care. Does that not speak to His desire to care for you beyond measure? But He demonstrated His own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we're to consider Him. In all our ways, acknowledge Him, revere Him, honor Him, thank Him, submit to Him, consider Him always. That's what Hebrews 12 and 3 tells us, is to consider Him, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who endured such contradiction of sinfulness against His holy person. How do you deal with life's problems? You cast yourself on the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You have no confidence in the flesh. Lean not on your own understanding. You acknowledge God's supremacy in all your ways. Acknowledge Him. And then you will enjoy. You will enjoy the promises of God. The promises of God. The promises of God are yea and amen. That's what 2 Corinthians 1 and 20 says. They are yea and amen. But be warned. Be aware that the Lord God does not issue blessing just because. The Lord issues blessing because of your careful attentiveness to who He is, and your desire to know Him even more, your desire to do what He wants you to do, not what you think is best for you to do. If you look at chapter 2 of Proverbs, then you look at the first 4 verses, And then you go to chapter 3 of Proverbs and you look at the first four verses. And you go to chapter 4 of Proverbs and you look at the first few verses. Those three passages of Scripture all talk about the instruction and the commandments and the Word of God. There was a time in my life where I will tell you, I brought that to church every Sunday, faithfully. This is my Bible. And when I got home after church, I put it down on the shelf, and it stayed there until the following Sunday, when I took 5 minutes to try and figure out where I left it, and then I picked it up and out the door and came to church so that everybody could see that I carried my Bible. Or must be reading it. I can see that. It's with him. It's important to him. He doesn't go anywhere without it. Gord must be enjoying his Bible. But when I wasn't with the Lord's people, I wasn't with God's Word. I wasn't in it. Is it a show for you? It sure was for me. His goodness is not to be assumed. You go over into the New Testament and you read there, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, you can ask God the Father whatever your little heart desires and he'll give it to you. And people are saying, yes, now I can go get that Hummer that I've always dreamed about. But you see, in the verses that precede that statement, the Lord is teaching his disciples that if they delight themselves in the Lord, if they delight themselves in God's Word. Do you know in Psalm 37, David had the same thought? Psalm 37 and verse 4, he said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will grant you the desires of your heart. The reason he will grant you the desires of your heart is because you're delighting in him. And as one pastor said on one occasion, he said, when you ask the Father for something in the name of the Lord Jesus, and you've been delighting yourself in the Lord, he has to give it to you because he's the one that made you think about it in the first place. The Lord Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. To live the abundant life is to enjoy God's promises. It is to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge his supremacy and sovereignty and magnificence in every situation, and he will direct your path. He will give you that answer. He will lead you because of his name's sake. Get that in our minds, please. He's not leading you because we're such terrific people. Because I'll tell you, when we leave this auditorium this morning, we turn into somebody else sometimes. He is leading us in the way of righteousness for his name's sake because he's faithful. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He is doing it because of who he is. His Spirit will guide us. That's what the Lord Jesus said in John 16. The Spirit of truth that I will send in my name, he will guide you into all truth. He will be the one to teach you and to show you what way you ought to go. We receive peace of mind. It says in Philippians 4 and 7, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. How do I know that I'm doing what God wants me to do? Because you know what? I'm in delighting myself in the Lord. And you know what? There's a quiet confidence. There's a very quiet confidence that I know that he is pleased with what I'm about to do. And we shall not fear. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, because you are with me. You are with me. What can men do to me? That's what the scriptures say. What can men do to me? The Lord Jesus said, don't be worried about the people that can take the body and do unspeakable things to the body. Be concerned about the one who can take your soul and send it to hell. You see, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We're going to make mistakes. Paul said that in the latter chapter, the latter half of the chapter, Romans chapter 7. He said, the thing that I want to do, I don't do, and the thing that I don't want to do, that's what I do. And, oh, wretched man that I am, who is going to save me from this body of death? And then I can see him putting the quill down, even though it's in Scripture for us to read. But he just says, thank God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the very first verse of Romans 8, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. When I've been dealing with folks at work, I challenge them to make decisions. I've let them know that if they don't make a decision when they need to make a decision, then I'll get upset. I sometimes think that the Lord will get upset with us if we don't make our decisions. But if those decisions don't happen to go the way they should have, the Lord will help us to learn from that and we'll move on. If we delight ourselves in the Lord, if we acknowledge His sovereignty and supremacy over all things, if we don't rely on our own understanding, if we have no confidence in the flesh and acknowledge Him, we will enjoy the promises of God in our life. Trust in the Lord. So how do you deal with life's problems? Our reference this morning says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. So whatever the problem is this morning, I invite you to give it to the Lord right now and trust Him to give you the direction and the peace that you desire so deeply. Let's pray. Father, we are a strange type of creature where we think on many occasions that we know everything there is to know about any given situation that we may encounter. Indeed, Scripture describes us as sheep, and accurately so. Father, grip us by your Spirit. Look into the very eyes of who we are and challenge us to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding, to acknowledge Him in every way and know that God will direct our paths. Father, we trust this morning that your Spirit will have liberty among us as He speaks to us individually. And we pray all of this and give you the glory in Jesus' name. Thanks for coming, folks. The Lord bless you.